We learned most of the Mishnah on Mem Ches Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says the last four lines in the Mishnah. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua. The Tana Rabbi Yeshua lived right after the Churban Abayis of Lez Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Miyam Shechar Beis Hamikdash. Every day is worse than the previous day. Oh, the line before, let's see. Yeah. The line before, Mishechar Beis Hamikdash Botel Hashomer. We discussed that the worm that cut the names into the Avnei Achosh and the Avnei Ho'efod. So that didn't, from the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, that didn't work anymore. Ben Efet Sufim, the Paris were so oily, so it didn't happen anymore. Oposko Anshe Amonim Yisrael. There are no more people who really have Bitochen in the Rabbanu Shalom. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, until Hashia Hashem Ki Chosu, Ki Goma Chosid, then give me a Yeshua, the Noma Chasidim Ra, Ki Faso Emunim, the Goyma means, Ki Faso Emunim Emiriyadim. People don't have Emun anymore. So the Gemara picks up on that theme. We learned the Gemara till towards the bottom of Mem Ches and Beis, the last four lines. Uposku Anshe Amona. People with Amuna practically don't exist. What does that mean? They don't have Bitoch and the Rabban Shalom don't have Amuna. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Eilu Ben Yodim Sheheim Amidim Bakodesh Baruch Hu. Anshe Amona means people have real Amuna. What does it mean? The Tanya Rab Lezer Agodloim, Rab Lezer Agodloz, Rab Lezer Ben Hurkinis. He's known as Ablaze HaGadol, the Yerushalmi says, because he was so humble. You look in the Gemara, you get the impression that he was very arrogant. He always used to disagree with the other Tanaim. But his contemporaries referred to him as Ablaze HaGadol. They took everything as the way he spoke, the tone of voice that he spoke, and apparently was with great humility. It says, so the Yerushalmi says, that's why they nicknamed him Ablaze HaGadol, because he was very humble. So it says, "Ablezer Galoim Kol Mishesh LePas Pesalo." Person has bread in his basket for today. He has food for today, and he's worried about tomorrow. What am I going to eat tomorrow? In the Midbar, they had to eat the mon every day, and they weren't allowed to leave over for tomorrow. So in the Midbar, they got used to it every single day for 40 years. Every day was like that. So they had bitochen that Rabbanu Shlomo was going to give food for tomorrow. So no one was ever worrying because there was nothing you can do about it. You're going to leave over, the mon is going to get ruined. So that was it, so they got used to it. But we don't live in the Midbar anymore, so everybody puts away money and savings, and everybody has a pension program, a retirement program. Everybody's worried about what's going to be tomorrow. So the Gemara says, to be worried about what's going to be tomorrow means that he has a lack in Amun. It doesn't mean he's an apikoiris. One who doesn't have Amun is an apikoiris dina ka'akum. That's not... Right. So the Gemara says that one who has food today, Mishesh Lepas Basali has food for today. And he's worried about Vayomer, and he says, what am I going to eat tomorrow? He is a low amadrega of Amunah. It doesn't mean he lacks Amunah. One who doesn't have Amunah is an apikiris. Miktani Amunah. He lacks Amunah. Behind the Amar Ablozor, there is a member of one of the Amaroyim. This says, Tanya Rablazer Roimer. Rablazer Hagaloimer. That's a Tana. And this is the Omer Rablozer. Rablozer is an Amora. That's the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael. Is Rablozer. I remember someone once asked me a gevaldig, a kasha, a contradiction between Rablozer and Rablozer. So I told him they're two different people. This is a Tana and this is an Amora. They're two different. He thought that was a Pesach Chochmas Yisrael, a modern approach to the Gemara. It's obvious they're two different people. Different spelling, totally. There was a Tana Rablozer also. But the Tana Rablozer and the Amora Rablozer are two different people. This Rab Loza, this is an Amora. My dichsi, what's pshat in the pasuk in Nobik? Ki mi boz liyom katnus. It's a difficult pasuk. So the Gemara interprets it. Mi gorm la tzadik mishis baz b'shulchan v'lasei lovoi. What avere, what chisorin will cause that the tzadikim, people who seem to be tzadikim, they're going to suffer in olam habo. They're not going to get the cover that they deserve. Ki mi boz liyom pashib pshat in pasuk. Mi boz liyom katnus. So the Gemara reads it differently. Mi boz leyom. Who's going to suffer? Who's going to have bizyonis? Losi lovoi. the tzaddikim are going to suffer. Migram tzaddik v'sheiz baz b'shulchanam lasi lava. What is that? Katan shoye b'hem. They didn't have full bitochen in the Rabbanu Shalom. Shalom hamidah b'kodesh bochum. They were putting away money in savings. Today everybody puts away money in savings. So that's what the Mishnah says. Mishachar beis hamig. There's bot lanchi amonah. That we live in a generation that people are always worried about what's going to be tomorrow. The Gemara quotes Hillel and Shammai were chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed around the year 70. So Hillel was the chief rabbi 100 years before. So the Gemara says that there's a machlokes Hillel and Shammai, not Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, machlokes Hillel and Shammai. What does it mean? Zochar Sam Shabbos Lakacha. What does it mean? You prepare in advance. So Shammai used to prepare on week in advance, starting from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Every day he would put away food Lakavit Shabbos. And then if he found something more delicious, he would eat the first piece of food and put away the second piece of food. Then the Gemara said, Hillel, midach eres hoysala. Hillel had a different style of living. He said, Baruch Hashem yom yom. He never worried from Sunday to Monday, from Tuesday to Wednesday, every day. So on Erev Shabbos, he would prepare for Shabbos. He wouldn't prepare from the beginning of the week. So the Mefarshim asked that Rashi and Chumash, the Ramban asked, Rashi and Chumash and the Pasuk, Zochar Sam Shabbos Lakatche, quote Shammai's opinion, that you should put away the food from the beginning of the week, you should start preparing for Shabbos. So the Ramban asks on Rashi, but whenever there's machlekes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you always usually paskin like Beis Hillel. Machlekes Shammai and Hillel also, we paskin like Hillel. Hillel was the chief rabbi. Shammai was the assistant chief rabbi. Why does Rashi quote the view of Shammai over here? So the Rav is fond of saying over the Netziv's Teretz. The Netziv has in the Sefer the machlekes Shammai and Hillel. The Lashon HaGemara is Aval Hillel Midach Eres Hoysalo. He had a different style of living. So the Netziv says, depending on what your style, what's your attitude in general. If your attitude is like Shammai, that you're always worried about preparing in advance, that it then requires you have to prepare for Shabbos from the beginning of the week. If you have the attitude like Hillel, that Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, then you're not mechuyev to prepare starting from Sunday. So the Netziv says, based on this Mishnah Taka, after the Hillel and Shammai lived 100 years before the Churban HaBayis, after the Churban HaBayis, bot lanchi amana. So everybody does like Shammai. Everybody puts away money in retirement program. Everybody has a pension, and everybody has savings. So bizman hazeh, Rashi writes like Shammai. The din bizman hazeh is like everybody's noig like Shammai. So the din requires you have to prepare for Shabbos a week in advance from the beginning of the week.
The din per se, this is the way of a
kabbalah.
It's not like you felt like
Shammai
or Hillel,
you know, it's not like. Right, that's the din depends on what your attitude is in general. So if in general you have bitochen, you're never worried about tomorrow, so you're not mechuyev to worry from the beginning of the week about Shabbos. But if your general attitude is that you're always worried about what's going to be in the future, then the din requires that lekavod Shabbos. You have to be worried starting from Sunday.
That's a
not that he stores away, that he's so
industrious.
That's what it means.
He worked
the nomel, the ant, puts away tons of food, and to live 100 years he's not going to eat so much food. But the pasuk initial just means look how industrious he is. So we should work. A person should know he has to work. So come to him garnish. If you're not going to work, you're not going to get anything. That's what the Mishle means. Lech ala nomel, go see how industrious he is. So Rab Loza the Amora has such a comment that that pasuk mi boz liom katnos, the tzaddikim lo zilava will not have the cover that they deserve, because the taka don't deserve so much cover, because a lot of people today after the churban beis hamikdash are lacking in amuna, the ktanei amuna. Rav has another comment, a totally different interpretation of the pasuk mi boz liom katnos, a totally different interpretation. So Rav says, sometimes people are rishoyim and they deserve to be punished. So the Baruch Shalom is going to punish them. But sometimes he causes that they lose a young infant. They have a little child and the child dies. So a lot of times the child dies because of the avarice of the parents. Ish bechetu yumasu. So the Gemara says ish means a bar mitzvah. A person after bar mitzvah doesn't die because of the sins. Liyum sabas al banam liyum salavas ish bechetu yumasu. A person after bar mitzvah is not punished because of the sins of the parents. But if the child is before bar mitzvah, is not an ish, so then sometimes bavon ha'horim, the banim will be mace. So the Gemara says, what happens if there's a family, they deserve to be punished, And then they lost a young child, so they're punished with that. And then on top of that, then they go to Gehenna. So the little child who died already will come to the Rabbanu Shlomo and complain. So what did they have to suffer so much for? Mm-hmm. Why did you punish him so much? Not enough that I died and they suffered from that. So that's how Rava suggests an additional level of interpretation. Me, Buzz, Liom, who's going to chip away, who's going to take away from the punishment that the parents deserve? The Ketanim who died at a young age, so that will lighten the punishment that the parents deserve, because it's not fair that they should have suffer a double punishment. That's how Rava says an additional, that's not what the pasuk means, that's an additional level of interpretation. Rava Omar, Elu Ketanim b'nei Rishi Yisrael, the parents are Rishoim, and the children died when they were young, Shemevazviz in Din Avim, that they chip away from the punishment, the parents are not going to be punished that much later. Why? Omer Lefonov, the children who died young, complained to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Rebbeinu Shalom, Machashat Osir Liporem Mehem, you're going to punish them. Islamic case Shinein Bom. Why did you knock out my parents' teeth? Why did you cause them to suffer by having me die at a young age? Genuk that you make them suffer. So they shouldn't suffer twice. So the punishment in Gehenna will be lessened because of the fact that they suffered, that the children died when they were young. Now the Gemara quotes a series of comments made by the same Amora. He's never quoted in the Gemara anywhere else. So they quoted all the comments that he said in one place, even though they're not connected with each other. Every so often you have that in the Gemara. To have an Amora whose name hardly ever appears, and they'll give you everything that we're interested in saying over in his name. Amora Biloi ben Yerech Yoh. Anomen fin haftar. Okay. David, if not for the fact that David HaMelech prayed on behalf of the Jewish people, we would all be schleppers and we would be selling schmaltz, and the schmaltz would be making stains on all of our Abgadim. We would all be paupers. Something terrible. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, so the Gemara only quotes the punchline. Rashi quotes the Pasuk before it says, Rashi says, Le'el Menexiv, that the goyim, the umasoylam, are wealthy, and the yudin are poor, and the umasoylam are tansing, that the Jews are not the amanifra, that they're so poor and they have nothing. So David Amel prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not fair. Shisa Hashem moira lahem. Let the Jewish people have a little self-respect. See to it that they should make a better parnasa, that they should think well of themselves. So because David gave a tefillah, so that's why there are yidin who are not paupers. If not for David Amel's tefillah, we would all be aniyim. We're starting off with the Muskel Rishon is that all the Jewish people should be poor, and the Yotzim and Akal is because David HaMelech was in spot. Why do you have to start off that it should be all the poor Jewish people should be poor? So that's the Gemara Chagiga. There's a strange Gemara Chagiga. The end of the first parak of the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking around all the Midas, which Midas should he give to the Jewish people? Lamas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midah Tov LeYisrael Elo Anius, that poverty is the best thing. Why? Because we know when the Jews become wealthy, by Yishmael Shurim by Yivot. So we don't. There's an Isayin Ha'isher and there's an Isayin Ha'oni. Some people, when they become very wealthy, so they become reform and they intermarry and they assimilate and shine. That's the end of the whole religion. And Anias, during all the years of the history of the Jewish people, more or less, we knew how to control that. The Jews knew how to survive and keep. Anias is also a big Nisayin. It's very difficult to keep kosher. Yeah. So Anias, generally the Jews did know how to control, and Ashiris we didn't know how to control. So that's what the Gemara says. Lamas Hakadosh Baruch Hu Midah Tov LeYisrael El Anias. On principle, all the Jews should be mamish aniyim. That's the Midah Tov Hakadosh Baruch Hu picked out. So David HaMelech offered a tefillah, give us a break. Shiyus Hashem Moira Lahem. Let the Jewish people have a little self respect. We shouldn't be aniyim. So he's attributing the fact that there are any Jews who are not paupers to this tefillah of David HaMelech. Then he quotes another memra, totally unrelated to the first memra. The second memra is not so unrelated, but it's the same amra. The amra Rabbi Loi b'Rabbi Rechia, another memra. El Malik Tvilosu Shal Chavakuk. Chavakuk also prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there was tremendous anias in his generation. So if not for the fact that his prayers were answered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to his friends, Hayushnei Talmid HaChamim Miskasim Mitalas Achas V'oskim HaTorah. The Talmid HaChamim was so poor in his generation that they used to share Begodim together. I remember I think Dr. Belkin once said when he learned in Radin, he used to share a pair of shoes or something with another Talmud in Radin. So when he had the shoes, he didn't have. They used to alternate. One day he wore the shoes, the other day he wore the shoes. They were anin. Yeah, the same. The girls would go out with all the boys. They had the same tie, the same jacket. Everything was the same. That was my father's time in the yeshiva. They all had the same suit. So whenever someone had a date, so they would wear that suit. Everyone wore the same suit. That was in America. And the suit they didn't pay for. The yeshiva paid for the suit. The yeshiva had to pay for the suit. Yeah. So that's what the Chavakuk said. They would wear the same beged at the same time, not to alternate. So they quote the pasuk from Chavakuk. The pasuk shat means something else. Pasuk shat, the word is read differently. Hashem shemati shemacho yoresi. Hashem pocha bekerav shonim chayehu. So the reading is bekerav shonim, and the pasuk means one thing. So the Gemara says, leave away the pasuk shat. Tatikri bekerav shonim ela bekirav shnayim. Two people were so poor, they would wear one beggar together when they would be learning Torah. Who says you're learning Torah? So he says, Shamati Shemach Yireis Hashem Pa'olcha. So Rashi interprets Pa'olcha, the pool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that he gave us the Torah. So the people of Bekerav Shnayim, the Pasuk means Bekerav Shanim Chayehu, years. But he's saying a Derech Malitza, Bekerav Shnayim, two people were so poor, they're learning Torah, wearing one talus together to keep them warm. So Chavakuk offers a tefillah, please see to it that there shouldn't be such terrible anias. So it wasn't so bad. So late in the later generations, they would alternate the beggar. They wouldn't wear the same beggar at the same time. One would wear the shoes one day, the other would wear the shoes the other day. Okay. Then the other members that he said have nothing to do with the first two. Amar Rabbi Loi b'Rav Yerechia has another member. Shnei Talmid HaChachamim HaMahalchem BaDerech. Two Talmidei Chachamim are walking on a highway. They're not talking with each other. How come they're not talking with each other? Rav Chaim Volozhin has, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos like that. Shnayim sheyoshvim vein beinehem divrei Torah. So he has a famous comment. Rav Goldvich, Zechano Levracha, was very fond. Rav Yeshiva from Kerem Yavne was very fond of saying over that comment. Rav Chaim Volozhin, that means two people are sitting at the same table and each one is looking at his own sefer, but they don't hold from each other, so they're not talking, learning with each other. So you have even each one is thinking, learning, talking, learning to himself, but there's no relationship between the two. So that's terrible. So he says that's terrible. Ru'uyim li'sorif ba'esh, they deserve to be burnt by a heavenly fire. Shenema, the pasuk says Eliyahu Hanavi and Elisha, his talmid, were walking. Vahihem ahochem haloch v'daber. We assume halacha daber, they were talking and learning together. Halacha daber together. V'hinei rechavesh, and a fiery chariot came down from heaven and went in between them. And then Eliyahu Navi went up in the fiery chariot to heaven. So he's interpreting this, Rabbi Loi b'Rabbi Yerechia is interpreting, doesn't really say it in the pasuk. He understands it to mean time adika tibur. The reason why no one was punished is because v'hema halacha daber, they were talking and learning together. If there wouldn't be any communication between the two, each one would be learning on his own independently, or if you learn Pashup Shat, they wouldn't be learning. So then, Ruyim Lisarif, the fiery chariot came down to see if we have to punish them. And Talmid, even when they're going on the highway, they're supposed to be talking and learning. Okay, you can say like that. That's Rav Chaim Volozhin adds on the word Beinehem. That's on Pirkei Avos, he adds it on. Yeah, Pashim Shad is talking to Armitelem. That's the Pashim Shad. There's a Mishnah in Croesus. It's a Mishnah, the same Mishnah appears in the Goyim also. When the Tanoim were going to buy flesh for Achasana, the Mishnah ben Olsha, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi. So when he married off his son, so they had to invite the whole world. So everybody was invited. So they had their Tanoim were going to buy behemoths in order to shecht for the Achasana. So the Mishnah is quoted in different places what they were talking and learning in the slaughterhouse, and then when they went to buy the behemoths and on the highway. And then the Mishnah adds on to teach you that when the Rabbanim are traveling on the road, they talk and learning even when they're Isaac in secular things. They were going to buy flesh. They weren't going to establish a yeshiva. Rabbanim have to talk and learning all the time. The Amar Rabbi Eloi b'Rabbi Yerechia, also related to this memory, the first one, Shnei Talmidechem Hadorim Bi'erachas. Two Rabbanim live in the same city. They don't get along in Torah. They should talk to each other. They should come out with one common policy instead of each one attacking the other one. Whatever he says, so the other one gets up and he says, the other rabbi is wrong, the din is like this. Sometimes they just say lahachis. So the Gemara says that that's terrible. That's highly improper. They have to get their act together. It's a chilul Hashem. It's a bizayin haTorah when the rabbanim don't get along. So he gives such a curse. Echad meis vechad goyle. The end of the story will be one of them is going to die, and one of them is going to go into Golas. Shenema. So the pasuk is talking about Ori Miklot. Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three Ori Miklot and Eibar Yarden. Then Yeshua is going to set aside the other three Ori Miklot when he crosses over to the western side of the Yarden. We'll have Kenny Knezik Kamen. We'll add on another three Ori Miklot. There'll be Sachakol 9. So the pasuk talks about the din of Ori Miklot. What's the purpose? If you kill someone by accident, so he has an. That's the pasuk b'shant and the pasuk. So this Rabbi Eloi b'Rabbi Yerechia has an additional al derech hadrash. He has an interpretation. Bivli das means vein das al haTorah. It means that they weren't learning because the two people should have been learning. Why should they be learning if they're businessmen? No, we're talking about two talmid chachamim who live in the same city, and they should have been noichem zelazeh b'alocha. They should have not publicly disagreed with each other, mevaz each other. So bivli das means a lack of learning together. Shenema, this apostle says nidma. Nidma means they shvagen. They're not talking. Mibli das. They're not talking and learning. So the pasuk says lana shamar etzech. Someone is going to kill the other one b'shoigig. So the one who's going to be dead is going to die, and the other one will be sent into golus. So the punishment for not talking and learning together chas v'shalom is oynish misa and oynish golus.
Who got the bigger
oynish? They're based. I don't know.
Both are
taken. Now the Gemara quotes Anu Amara. Amar Rabbi Yudah Bereid Rabbi Chiya. Kol Tamachach Mahoisek Batar Mitar Chatchak. Sometimes you have the Rashash has his Chidush imprinted in the back of the Gemara. He was a wealthy man. I don't know in the modern standards how it would turn out, but he was a wealthy businessman. And he knew how to learn. He was the president. He was the Rosh HaKohol of Vilna. He had his office in the same building as the Rosh HaKohol, in the same building as the Dayanim, as the Kehillah building. So on one occasion, the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valojin. He was very poor, extremely poor. So on one occasion they met, and the Rashash asked him a kasha that bothered him for years. And on the spot, the Netziv gave him a teretz. Then the Rashash gave a krechts, and he said, how come I never thought of that teretz? I learned the Gemara. I knew this Gemara that you quoted. So the Netziv told him right away, because I'm so poor and I learned Torah Mitoch HaTchak, and you're so wealthy, you lead a very relaxed life, and you learn Mitoch HaShiris. So the Rashash on Yevamos, it's on the Gemara on Yevamos. Rashash writes the Kasha, and he says, the Netziv told me this Teretz. He doesn't write the story. Rav Zevin writes the story. And in Sefer Yishim Mishitos, and when he writes about the Netziv, how poor he was, he doesn't write about the Rashash. And Yishim Mishitos just writes about more recent Rosh Yeshiva. Rashash was a businessman who happened to know how to learn very well. So he quotes this whole story, this whole incident. So the Gemara talks about such a thing, that there's a maile if a person, it's not a mitzvah to make yourself poor. If a person has money, not mechuyev to be mafku all the money to make himself poor. But if a person learns b'torah chatchak, so it's a higher madrege than a person who learns b'torah hashira. So the Gemara, So the Gemara says, not only is his learning considered on a higher madrigan, and it seems thinks that he'll be zeicher to better understanding in the Gemara, but it's even tvilos in the Shema. His prayer instead a better chance of being answered than the one who learns shelo mitoch hatchak. Shenema ki am b'tzion yeshev b'Yerushalayim. What are they doing yeshev? Well, what are the Jewish people sitting in Yerushalayim? Sitting and learning. We say he sits and he's learning. So that's how he interprets the pasuk. Am b'tzion yeshev Yerushalayim. The Yidden are going to sit and learn in Yerushalayim. Bochol lo sivke. There's nothing to cry about because Chanun the Eibushter yochnecha. He will give you chayin. He will answer your prayers. L'kol zarecha. L'kol zakecha. When you pray out to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he will answer your prayers. And the next pasuk. So who says they're sitting and learning? Who says that he's learning mitoch hatchak? It says when people learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing to cry about because Baruch Hashem will answer like prayers. No. The Chassid Basrei, the very next pasuk says that the person is sitting and learning, V'nosan Hashem Lachem. How does the pasuk read? Fakir. V'nosan Lachem Hashem. Same thing. V'nosan Lachem Hashem Lechem Tzar Maim Lachatz. The pasuk says, the one is sitting and learning in Yerushalayim is learning mitoch hatchak. He doesn't have so much food to eat. It's pas mamelach toichal. So therefore, chanun yochnachal kol zakecho. The Baruch Shalom will be kind to you when you pray out to him. So that's what he says. The tefillos of such a tzaddik stand a better chance of being answered as opposed to the tefillos of a talmid chacham who learns shalom mitoch hatchak. Rabbi Abba Omer Hiyadzan from the same pasuk. That one who learns b'torah hatchak will be rewarded mazbiim also miziv hashchina. He will be nene from the ziv hashchina. We don't know exactly what that means. Shenema, the next pasuk says v'hayu einecha v'ra'os es marecha. You will be zeche to see the Rabban Shalom. Rabban Shalom doesn't have a goof, so the Gemara says he will be zeche to be nene from the ziv hashchina. No, we don't know what shchina is. We don't know ziv hashchina. We have in the Gemara. The Gemara uses this expression v'hayu einecha. Roya says Marecha, the Pashab Shad goes on the Rabban Shalom. Hoyanecha, you will be Zaycha to see the Ziv Ashchina. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that it's better to sit in front of the Rebbe to see the Rebbe's face as opposed to sitting in the back of the class or on the side of the Rebbe and you can't see his face. The Gemara says that the Rebbe, Rabbi Yudan Lasi, learned by Rabbi Meir, I think, I forgot about it. He says, huh, Rabbi Meir? So the one who sat in front of the Rebbe was zeichet to more hatzloch in learning. The one who sat behind or on the side didn't succeed as much in learning because v'yanecha rayis es merechem. That's what some of the rabbanim say today. That if you listen to tapes or you listen on a website, it's ain't a daima. You're not yoytze. I can't say you're not yoytze. He's learning. A lot of people learn by websites, but more correct is to stare the Rebbe in the face. So there's a personal relationship. So there's a stronger maser. Okay, that'll solve the problem. Okay, there's body language, right? So it's in addition to hearing the lashon, you have to have the body language also. Abach Reb Chanina Afein Apargunin on the front of the next pasuk says that the one who's learning b'toch hatchak, as the pasuk says, Nasan lachem lechem tzar ma'im lachatz, one who insists on learning, even though he's so poor, he learns b'toch hatchak, so he will be zeichet to be nene from ziv hashchina mazbim also. He will be surveyor. He will have hanor from the ziv hashchina, and it also ain't a pargan ninol befonov. The shenema v'lo ikonef od merecha. The Rabban Shalom will not hide from you. When a person wants to hide, so he takes the kanaf bigdoi and he goes like this. You shouldn't see me. So the Rabban Shalom will not hide his face, and this tzaddik who sits and learns metochat chak will be zeche to see. Means the ziv hashchina. You can't see the shchina. Rabban Shalom doesn't have a body. He'll be zeche to be nene from the ziv hashchina. Rabban Shalom will not hide from him. Well, I can't afford my rechum. Then the Mishnah says, after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, hey, Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua lived there for me. Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash, ein yom she'en bo klola. Every day is more cursed than the previous day. Every day toignish. So the Gemara wants to know, where does he get this idea from? Is there a source in Tanakh? Amar Rava, so Rava says, in the middle of Mem Tesam and Aleph, the mocker for this comment is not some historical observation that he made. It's based on the passing of Chumash. Each day, there's a bigger klala than the day before Shenema. Pasuk says in the Teuchecha, in Kisava, in the morning you'll say, Oi, I wish it would be evening. So, erev time, and the evening you say, Mi'iten boiker. I wish it would be morning. So he wants to know, hey, Boiker, what do you mean? And the morning would say, I wish it already be tonight, or he says, I wish it would be last night. So he says, E lema, if the pshat and the pasuk is, if you should say, E lema, Boiker de la mocha, and the evening would say, I wish it already be tomorrow morning. Who says tomorrow morning is going to be better than today? Maybe tomorrow morning is going to be worse. So he says, no, the pshat is, how do you know what's going to be tomorrow morning? Ella, no, it means like this. The Khalif. In the evening he says, I wish it would still be the morning. The morning was better than the night. Nighttime is worse than in the morning. So that's what Rabbi says. You see from that pasuk that part of the Tachach is that every evening is worse than the morning, and every morning is worse than the previous evening. Every day, kilolosim ruba mishal chaver. So the Gemara effect hashayla. So if the whole world is so terrible to the Jews, what keeps us going? Why don't we just collapse? The whole Jewish people should fall apart. Ela alma, the Jewish world, the goyish world is the goyish world. They were not affected by the churban beis hamikdash. They were affected indirectly. We bring korbanos on Sukkot for the 70 Purim for the Ummah Sa'ilam. So they were also, the Gemara says in Sukkot, the goyim don't even realize what they lost. They don't even realize that we used to bring korbanos with them and things were better for them as mancha beis hamikdash haikam. But the Gemara wants to know what keeps the Jewish world going. El alma maikom mikam, what keeps us going? And for the Gemara, there are two things. A kedusha de sidra by Heshmei Rabbi de Agarta. Kedusha de sidra is the kedusha that we say in Avodat Zion. We say Kedusha before Shema Yisrael, Kadosh Kadosh, and the first bracha birchas Kriyas Shema Shachris. Then say Kedusha in the Chazaras Hashatz, and then the third time we say Kedusha the Sidra in the middle of Avodat Zion. So that's a higher madrega. The Kedusha the Sidra is a higher madrega than the other two Kedushas. What's that? Is? So Rashi explains because Kedusha is always a, when you recite Kedusha, it's a davisha b'kedusha. Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, these are all davisha b'kedusha, but Kedusha the Sidra has learning with it also. As opposed to the Kedusha before Shema Yisrael, the Kedusha and Shema Nesri is only a Dovish of Kedusha. Kedusha and Avodat Zion has learning with it. Where do you have any learning in Avodat Zion? Because you say the Targum Yonison on the Pasuk. You don't just recite the Pesukim. You say Targum Yonison means that you're learning the Pasuk. You understand what it says, not just reciting. And the same thing, Yeheshmei Rabbah de Agarata. That's Kaddish de Rabbanon. When you say Kaddish de Rabbanon, so it's always recited after learning, after public learning. And the Kaddish is a Dovish of Bigdusha. So that's why Rashi says you have a combination between Talmud Torah and a Dovish of Bigdusha. So that's what keeps the Jewish people going. Why is it called Yeheshmei Rabbah de Agarata? They should say Kaddish de Rabbana. That's what we call the Kaddish de Rabbana. So the Morgan Avram talks about this in Hilchas Kaddish. In Shulchan Aruch you have Hilchas Tfilas Birchas HaShachar. First you have Hilchas Birchas HaTorah. First you have Maidani. It says you wake up in the morning and say Maidani. That's Simon Aleph. Then it says you wash until it's a dime. Okay. Then you say Ashayotzer. Then you say Birchas HaTorah. Then you say Birchas HaShachar. Then you say Korbanos. Then it says before you say Baruch Shamar, you say Akadosh Derabbanon. After is Emekayman. So the Magen Avraham discusses over there. Why does the Gemara call it Yeshmei Rabbah de Agarata? So Akadosh Derabbanon. So he quotes that there's a question. Some Rishonim seem to say that you only say Kaddish Derabbanon after learning an Agoda. If you just learned there was no Agoda, then you don't say Kaddish Derabbanon. So that's why the minhag always is. Someone says a shir, you learn. Then you say Rachanani Marakas Shemir. What's a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Zakas Sal Fichel Hayavatar Shemitzah Shenemar. Or you say some kind of an Agoda to satisfy that opinion. But the Pashup Shat, the Magen Avraham says the Pashup Shat is, even if you only learned Agarata, if you learn Aloch Abadi, you say Kaddish Derabbanan. Even if the whole shir was on Yankif and they didn't learn one word of Aloch, they were only learning Agarata, you still say Kaddish Derabbanan. But because there's such an opinion, I think he quotes it's a Pirish HaMishnayis. Pirish HaMishnayis, Le Raman writes like that. The Yesh Merab de Agarata is only after Agarata.
That's why we always say the
word. Right, that's why you end off with an Agarata. Right, right. Shenemar. Mm-hmm. How does he know such an idea that that's what keeps the world going? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Iyov. The Gemara in Bava Metzia has a statement on the pasuk in Baruch Nafshi. It says in Baruch Nafshi, Toshes Choshech Lihi Loila Vosirmas Kolchai Seyard. The Baruch Shalom makes it finster. It's dark outside, and all the wild animals from the jungle start roaming around. So the Gemara says, what is that a description of? So the Gemara says, Hoyle Mazeh Shadoy Malalaila. That this world is like night. Why is Oyelam Hazeh Doyma Lalaila? So the Mesilas Yisharim has a famous comment that at nighttime you make two types of mistakes. You see a lamppost and you think it's a person. You see a person and you think it's a lamppost. So people see a mitzvah and they think it's an aver. People see an aver, they think that must be a mitzvah. Look at Zionism. These people sit and say kinnis on Yom Ha'atzmaut and the other people are dancing but hal with Abracha. They think it's the biggest aver and they think it's the biggest mitzvah. And a lot of things like that in life. This guy brags that he never pays taxes. He's not going to pay. And the other people say it's geneva. What do you mean you don't pay taxes? You're cheating everybody else. There's so many things in life. It come out to everything in life. if a person doesn't have Torah to illuminate himself, Torah is supposed to give illumination. Torah gives illumination, so it's not finster anymore. So that's what the Gemara quotes such a similar pasuk in Iyov, that Olam Hazeh Domeh LaLaila. And all the people roaming around the world, it's like the animals coming out from the jungle. That's the human beings are like animals from the jungle, and each one does whatever he darn pleases. If you're not guided by Liman HaTorah, it's like a wild jungle. So the pasuk says, "Eretz ofsa kmo ofel tzalmoves." The world is so finster, it's so dark, no one knows what's going on. Velo sedorim, there's nothing mesudadik. So the Gemara says what it means is everything is finster if you don't have the sidre. Kedusha de Sidra. If you have Kedusha de Sidra, then it's not so finster. So that's ref. Hoyesh Darim, if there is Kedusha de Sidra, if there's Yehesh Merabba Dagarat and Kedusha de Sidra, the combination of Talmud Torah together with the Abishab Kedusha, then Tofiyah Meyoifel, then there's going to be illumination in the middle of this darkness. So that's what the Gemara says, that keeps the world going. There's another Gemara Masechah Shabbos where the Gemara says that learning Torah keeps the world going. So the Gemara says, who's learning of Torah? So the Gemara says, Hevel piyim shel tinoka shel beis rabban, the little children. What do the little children learn? Abba bed, they say chumash, they say siddur. So Abaye asks, one of the Amoraim says, what about the David Dochmai? What about, we learn Torah on a very high level. We know Mishnais, we know how to ask kashas and give terutzim. Only Hevel piyim shel tinoka shel beis rabban. So the Gemara answers Abaye's question, the little children, they don't know yet how to make machloikas, and they don't know how to talk nivol peh, they don't know how to shtech the other child. They're tmimis, the good children. So they're learning that comes from their pure mouths, that keeps the world going. Nebuch, the adults, already spoke Lashon Hara and Mechilas and machloikas and nivol peh and everything. So we defiled our mouths. So even if our learning may be on a higher level, but it's not going to keep the world going. That's what the Gemara says there. That the Hevel Piyim Shel Tinok Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah keeps the world going. So our Gemara says Talmud Torah that comes together with Dabash Bigdusha. And that Gemara has the one half, the Limud HaTorah of the young children, is keeps the world going. Then the Mishnah continues to say what happened. The Mishnah Mem Chesam and Aleph. Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash, each day Embo Yom Sheimbo Klola, each day is a worse Klola than the previous day. Kol Yom Kedaloso Merubah B'Shal Chaver. Then it says Leor and Hatal Lebrocha. Bisman Shabeis Hamikdash Oyakayom, so the Tal came down Lebrocha. And after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, no more Brocha. And Itel Tam and Aperis, the Peris don't taste as delicious as they used to. Rabbi Yossi says Afnitel Shuman Aperis, the Peris used to be fatter and used to be more geshmak. Because we no longer observe the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, it's mancha Beis Hamikdash Hayikayim, so you had to be Tohor to enter the Beis Hamikdash. You had to be Tohor to eat Truma. You had to be Tohor to eat Karbonis. After the Chub Beis Hamikdash, nobody observes the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, so because we no longer observe it, so we lost the whole Gishmak, the Tam and the Reach. Paris used to taste delicious and used to smell delicious. Now everything is gone. Ha-Maisris, we live in Golis now, so we don't have any Maisris anymore, and even in Eretz Yisrael, Jumas and Maisris is only Midirabbanon. So the Mishnah says, because we no longer have the Mitzvah and HaTorah of HaFrashas, Jumas and Maisris, so Notlu as Shuman HaDogon. The grain used to be more fatty, used to be more healthier, more nutritious, and after the Churban Abayis, there's no longer Shuman HaDogon. Rashi explains why. Because the pasuk refers to truma as chelav dogan tirish v'yitzah. Chelav doesn't mean chelav the fat; it means the truma, the mufchar, the choice part. You're supposed to give away to the kohanim as truma. So because we refer to the truma as chelav dogan tirish v'yitzah, that's in chumash. So because we no longer have afrashas truma, so that's why we no longer have shuman hadogan. The dogan is no longer as nutritious as it used to be. Then the Chachamim add on, the ladies and just say, Haznus Vakshafim Kilu Asakol. Unfortunately, there's so much preaches, and there's so much Kishuf. The Jewish people are such a Shvala Madregas, everything was destroyed. All the wonderful Milas that we have, is Mancha Beis Hamikdash Yekayim, so everything was lost. So the Gemara, Mem Tesem and Aleph, continues on this theme. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta. The Tosefta usually elaborates on the themes in the Mishnayos. See, here in the Gemara it's Perek Tes, and at Tosefta it's Perek Tes Vav. Usually that's what it is. Let's say Masechet Shabbos has 24 prokim in the Mishnayos, that the Sefta has much more. Sefta usually has more prokim than the Mishnayos, because it has 1.5 prokim to each, or 2 prokim to every perkei. Gives more details. So here they quote the Tosefta, Rishimen Alozer Emet Tahara Bitlo Tam Berech, because we no longer observe the laws of Tumah V'Tahara, so that's what the Mishnah has like that. So there's no longer Tam Berech and the Peris. Meiser, this is a repeat from the Mishnah. We no longer Mafresh Tumas and Meisres, Chutz Lord is not Tumas and Meisres, a Bitl Shuman Adogan. So the fatness of the Tvuah is no longer there. Rafuna, so the Gemara tells a story. Rafuna once found Ashkach, he found in the store that we're selling Tumarta de Chinuniso, a very delicious date, a tamra. Smelled delicious and it tastes special, Rashi says. The different kinds of dates. So this kind of a date smells delicious and tastes delicious. So he bought it, chocolate, he took it. He found it in the street, but he took it. Korcha besudra, he wrapped it up to protect it, and he put it in his pocket. So he had a son and a grandson. Rav Huna's son was Rabba Bar Rav Huna, and he had a son. So his son was Abba Bar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So the son comes by. Also, Rabba Braid, the son of Rav Huna, comes by. Amalei, so he tells the father, you know, I smell something that's very delicious. Do you know if there's such a fruit around here? He can sense it. Morchina recha dechino niso. I smell the delicious smell of such a pri. And the father had wrapped it up and he put it in his pocket. He put it away somewhere. So he said, Amalei. So Rav Huna tells his son, Bini, it must be tahara yeshboch. You must have wonderful milus midastavis. You have tahara. And the whole reason why a normal person doesn't have tam bereach, we no longer enjoy the reach and the tongues, because we all lost all the tahara. You must be a very spiritual child, and therefore you can smell it. So I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you the fruit. Probably paid the $10, one little fruit, I'm going to give you the fruit. Yaba nale. So he gives it to the son. So the son takes it, it's all wrapped up. So then his son shows up. Adahachi, meanwhile, also Abba Berei, Abba, the son of Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, the grandson Hestas of the old man who bought this fruit. So the grandson comes. So the father loves his son, and the son says, "Daddy, you have such a delicious fruit. Can I have the fruit?" So the father gives it to the son. So the grandfather says, "Look at that! I bought the fruit for $10, $20, whatever. Such an expensive thing, and I give it to my son. Then my son wastes it and he gives it to the little baby. You love your son more than you love your father." That's true. People love, that's, we all are like that. That's human nature. The halacha is based on that also in Hilchas Krovim, Psulim Leidus. In Sanhedrin, I remember when we learned Sanhedrin, Sir Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there's a din in the Gemara that's based on that assumption, that the parents love the children more than the children love the parents. The Gemara has a benegiah to Boba Machteris. The first daf in Psochim, the Pasuk says, Aboba Machteris, we assume he's prepared to kill the Balabos. He comes with a weapon. Is prepared to kill the balabas if he won't let him pull off this geneva. But what if it's imzorcha shemesh olav? If it's klovid itog, that the one who's coming to rob the house is not prepared to kill the balabas. Why is it klovid itog? It's a father who's breaking in on his son. A father will never kill his son. So then domim lo. Then you're not allowed to kill the god. Not allowed to kill the father. But if it's the reverse, it's bein alo'ov, the son is breaking in on the father's home, then the son will be prepared to kill the father in order to gamble the money from the father. That's how the Gemara says the halacha. So that's what the Gemara says over here also. When the grandchild came, Adahachi Osaba Brei, his son came, Shokol Yavnale, so the son who just got from the father this expensive fruit, $25 fruit, he gives it to the son. Amalei, so the grandfather tells his son, Samachtas libi, I'm very happy to see how you cherish your son. The case is shinai, but you caused me agmas nefesh at the same time. Because you give it away to your grandson means you love the grandson more than you love me, which is a normal thing. Okay, so the Gemara says Haina darmi inshi. That's what people say. Rachmi da abba abinei. The father loves his son. Rachmi da bnei abinei da havalei. The father loves his son. Rav Huna gave this expensive fruit to his son Rabba, and Rabba gave it to his son. Every father loves his son much more than he loves the parents. Then the Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim was a Yosem, and he was raised by the grandfather. Rabbi Yankev Barbarate. Rabbi Yankev was the grandson of Rabbi Acha Bayankev. Apparently, it was named after the great grandfather. So he was raising the grandson. Kigodl, when he was raising the child, when he grows up, so one fine day, the grandfather asked his son, maybe you can go get me a cup of coffee. So he says, I'm not mechuyev in kibbutz. He bops him over the head. In Yeriday, they quote, there's no chiyuv kibbutz on the grandchildren to the grandfather. Chiyuv kibbutz is only on children. But still, he raised them all these years. But so out of Hakoras HaTov, he should have given him, he should have helped them. Strange story. The grandfather one fine day after raising the grandchild, he asked him, give me a drink of water. I'm not your son, there's no chiyuv kibbutz. That's what they quote in Shulchan Aruch, no chiyuv kibbutz on the grandchildren to the grandfather. That's what people, the Welt has an expression, Rabbi, you raise them, but he says, I'm your grandchild, I'm not your child, and I'm not mechuyev in kibbutz. That's what they discuss, why the grandchildren are mechuyev. Why do you say kaddish after someone dies? It is a chiyev kibbutz. Mechabda mechay, mechabda lachamoisi, mechuyev to show kibbutz, both while the father is alive and after the father dies. If you're citing kaddish, the Beis Yosef quotes a whole passage from the Zohar that the Zohar says that sometimes people deserve to suffer in Gehenna. So if the children recite kaddish, so that's pointed the parents from Gehenna. That's pointed them from Gehenna. So the child is by the grandchild is mechuyev to say, a child is mechuyev to say kaddish with the parent. That's a dina kibbutz mechab de lachamoisa. Is the grandchild mechuyev to say kaddish with the grandfather? So strictly speaking, is not mechuyev in kibbutz. So let's say in the two people in shul, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, only one person said kaddish at one time. They didn't have two people say together. That was the practice all over the world until the days of Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger lived in Germany. So there was a tremendous epidemic and so many people died. And they would alternate reciting Kaddish. So if they alternate, so each Ova will only have a chance once every 2 weeks or something. There was so many Avelim who were saying Kaddish. So Rabbi Kiveger instituted they should all say Kaddish in unison. They should all say together. So then after this epidemic ended, so there was a whole machlekes whether Rabbi Kiveger's takana was intended as a Hayra Shoah until the epidemic blows over. Or no, he changed the practice from that one. You can say Kaddish in unison, but it's a problem though, because whenever you say Kaddish, you have to have nine people answering. Otherwise, you don't have a minyan. And the Pashtus and the Primogodim is that if you have three people want to say Kaddish, you have to have 30 people in a shul. So you have nine people answering to each one of them. If you have five people want to say Kaddish, you have to have 50 people in the shul. Each one is the chazan for his minyan. Usually you don't even have that. Usually the people are saying Kaddish together, they're not synchronizing it. So you don't have nine people answering anybody. Everybody's saying Kaddish, no one has the benefit of a minyan. A minyan doesn't just mean there are 10 people in the shul, and I'm saying Kaddish, and they're not paying attention. It means all 10 are participating in the Kaddish. So that's why the practice always used to be, the Shulchan Aruch describes it, that they used to alternate. One person at a time would say Kaddish. It says, if you have a son wants to say Kaddish for a father, and a grandson volunteers, say Kaddish for a grandfather, and only one person at a time says Kaddish, so the son is a chiyuv to say Kaddish. Grandson is not a chiyuv because he does not have a chiyuv kibbutz. But it still helps the descendants, direct descendants. So the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin that bro mezaka abba, abba loy mezaka bro. Any mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the children or the grandchildren or the descendants do is farechent as a schus for the nifter. Because children are an extension of their parents, of their grandparents. The parents are not an extension of the children. So let's say, Rahman al-Atlan, a child dies. And the father wants to be poured the child from Gehenna. So it's not going to help. The father can give all the tzedakah in the world. He can say all the kaddish he wants. The father is not an extension of the child. What? That's what the Gemara discusses. So the Gemara says it there. Abba loy mezaka bro. The Gemara says, bro mezaka abba, abba loy mezaka bro. The Gemara says it there by David and Avshalom. Yeah. That whatever the father does is not going to help. No, because children or descendants are an extension of their parents. So whatever the children do is considered a schus. Probably also not. Adopted children also, there's no kibbutz. Strictly speaking, there's no kibbutz of.
So why do we have the custom of asking, paying somebody to say kashrus? Somebody dies with any ears, only daughters or even
daughters. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that second best is if you don't have a direct descendant to say kaddish, you ask someone else to say kaddish. But more correct is that the descendants are women and they're not going to go to shul. They're not going to say kaddish. Years ago, the women didn't say kaddish. That's a modern thing. Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page, they quote the Chavis Yor. He says, strictly speaking, a woman may recite kaddish, but it's against the minhag. So in recent years, they say it's not so much against the minhag. But today, a lot of times, people will come to shul, women will come to shul, and they'll say kaddish. But the woman can't say kaddish on the other side of the mechitza, if the mechitza is like this, a portable mechitza. So then the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have five people on one side, five people on the other side, they're mitzarfen to a minyan. But if the mechitza is attached to the ground, or the women's section is all the way upstairs, a different room, so you can't be mitzarf five people in one room, five people in another room. So a lot of times a woman comes to shul, she's in the women's section. The women's section is totally separate from the men's section. She can't say kaddish, she doesn't have a minyan. It doesn't help that she has 10 women in the women's section. You have to have 10 men. So the woman who wants to say kaddish has to walk into the men's section. So the rabbi has to decide which is the lesser of the two evils. Is that what he wants? He wants the woman to come in every day to the men's section to be able to say kaddish? Or maybe we should tell the woman, stay home. I'll say kaddish instead. Someone else will say kaddish instead.
You can't answer to Kedusha either then, if she's in the balcony?
Answer to Kedusha you can, even if you're outside, but you're not mitztarif to the minyan. The Gemara says, afinu mechitza shel bar avim. So Tosfos says the kasha, but it is mafsekis. If you have five people in one room, five people in another room, we had this the Gemara and Erevin, that they're not mitztarfim together. You have to have 10 people in one room. So why does the Gemara say, afilu mechitza shel barzel, einam mafsekis bein Yisrael, aviyam shebashamayim? So Tosfos says, no, what it means is like this, if you have 10 people in the room, and we're saying Kedusha, and someone is out in the street, and he doesn't have a minion, he's allowed to answer Kedusha. But in order to begin to say Kedusha, you have to have a minion, 10 people together in the same room. So if you want the woman wants to answer Kaddish, that's not a problem. You can answer even out in the street. But if you want the woman to say Kaddish, she has to have, she's the Shliach Tzibur. So she has to have the 10 men in the same room where she is.
If it's movable,
it's not attached, then the Mishnah Berurah says that five people on one side, five people on the other side, I'm at Starfim. It's the same room. It's not considered a different room. It's only considered a different room if it's attached to the floor. It's not attached, not. My father came from a Hasidic section in Romania, all Vizhnitsa Hasidim. So he says he remembers from Europe that the Rav passed away and he left no son, so his little daughter came every day to shul. She went to the front of the shul and she said Kaddish, but she was a little girl. She wasn't 65 years old. Sometimes today you have a woman comes to the shul, she wants to say Kaddish, her father died. So she can't say Kaddish in the women's section if it's a separate section. She has to go into the men's section. And she has to have 10 men answering the Kaddish. If you don't, she's going to say softly, so she's not saying with the benefit of a minion. You're not to say Kaddish. It's like a brachal of Atola. To say Kaddish without a minion is not permissible.
So when you're saying that she comes in the men's section, but there's still some machitza, right? She can't just come to the men's section, there's no machitza.
We assume that the din is you're not allowed to have men and women davening together, but taruz, if you have a lot of men and a lot of women, it's all taruz. But if you have one woman, one or two women, so mikra din, that's not a problem. That's what Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, that he remembers in Vilna, that sometimes women would walk into the men's section in shul in order to say Kaddish. That's what they say, even though the Chavis Yoy writes that it's against the meaning that a woman, a daughter, should want to say Kaddish, but in recent years, it's not so much against the minyan. If a woman wants to say Kaddish, we would permit it. We wouldn't say that it's against the minyan.
So as long as you had a woman behind in the pizza, you had 10 men here, she would be allowed to say Kaddish.
If she's going to say the Kaddish loud enough that the men will hear.
Is she allowed to do it?
Yeah. But, so it's like two men. Let's say you have a lot of men want to say Kaddish. So each one has to have a minyan. If you have five men want to say Kaddish, you've got to have 50 people. That's how the Prima Gadim said. Also, at the same time, is also each one is his own shliach tzibur for his own tzibur. So the Prima Gadim says you got to have 50 people. Okay. Same thing. Okay.
Woman can say Kaddish. What kind of masin she can do to replace the Kaddish?
Women traditionally used to be oiskim b'gmilas chasadim. Women were always known for chasadim. There used to be a very big Talmid Chacham in the Bronx. So when the Rabbanim had shailas, all the Rabbanim in the New York, when they had shailas, chalitza, get something, they would call a husband. When one someone would be sick in the family of the Rabbanim, they would call a wife, that she should be mispal. The husband was also a tzaddik, but they knew that his wife was a big tzaddik, and she was unique in the way she dubbed.
The Gemara in Times has a mice like that.
Yes. Yeah, Abba Chilke, that Gemara, that the women were always medakta, because they were more medakta in giving tzedakah to the aniyim, so that's why the tefillahs have more of a kach. This woman taka was very medakta in tzedakah. Her husband was in Rabbanus and he made money, and she used to tell us the money to the aniyim.
Yeah? Rashi said that.
But not when he get to keep it up. That's this Gemara. Not b'nei banim k'nei banim is b'nei get to other things. You yotz a pir of rivia with grandchildren, but not b'nei get to keep it up.
If there are 10 women in
the mechitzah,
can a woman say kasha and 10 women answer?
No, we assume the Mishnah says that davish b'kedusha needs asara nashim b'nei charim b'nei bris. It has to be men. You have to have men. It can't be.
But benching from mezuma, women can bench mezuma. That's not davish b'kedusha.
Women can bench mezumim, but the Rambam says they can't say Elokeinu. They can even if they have 10, they say Baruch Shachan Mishaloi. To say Elokeinu, you have to have 10 men. So that's a shaila why. So the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Kara, writes in his commentary on the Rambam that to say Baruch Elokeinu Shachan Mishaloi, that's a davar shebikdusha, and you need a minyan, and the 10 women are not a minyan. And most others disagree with the Kesef Mishnah. They hold that benching mezuman basar is not a davar shebikdusha. It's a different din that you have to have. The Gemara says, La barachara. It's not derech eretz to say Elokeinu with less than 10 people. And why women can't constitute 10 is because the Gemara says women are always private. So they never add up to a tzibur. They never add up to a chabura. So why is there a mezuman of 3? So the Gemara says, no, that's different. Even though 100 women is only like 2, but a mezuman is different. A mezuman with 3, but a mezuman of 10, not. So that's a shaila where the bench mezuman. People have different minhagim. When you bench mezuman, basa, you said Baruch Elokeinu, do you stand up or not? So some people stand up all the way. Some people stand up a little bit, and the litvakas don't stand up at all. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik once gave the whole yahrzeit drasha. The litvakas are always right, you know. Like Rav Avadya always comes out. The svardim are always right. Rav Soloveitchik Shurim also the all the litvish minhagim, they're always right. So he gave this whole shia.
The Litva, they
never stood up for bench mezuman basar. So he said, because we really don't hold like that kesef mishnah. We really, the Rishonim say that bench mezuman basar is not a davar shebikdusha. It's a different din. Today in America, a lot of people have a minig. Let's say a brother dies, so the surviving brother, not a parent, a brother dies. So the surviving brother observes avelus for shloshim. So many people have the practice that they say Kaddish till the end of Shloshim. So you look in Shulchan Aruch, there is no such thing. There is no din that you say Kaddish when you're in Avelus. Kaddish is for a descendant. Abro mezaka abo. Mitam kibudav, yimuchuyib mechabda lachamoisoi. And this is a form of kibud because the Zohar says that the child reciting Kaddish is part of the parent from Gehenna. But a brother dies, the brother is not an extension of his brother. It's not going to help if he's going to say Kaddish. It's like a friend or like a strange person saying Kaddish. If the one who died has a son is saying Kaddish, now that's it. So why should the brother say Kaddish? There is no such meaning.
If there is no son.
So if there's a grandson, if there's
no
a
grandson.
But let's say if there is a grandson. So if the parents have the heebie-jeebies, they don't want their child to say Kaddish while they're alive, so he shouldn't say Kaddish.
No child and no grandson.
Then you have to get a stranger to say. But it's not better to have the brother. You can have anyone in shul.
Brother's like a stranger.
Brother's like a stranger. But again, it is them. Yeah. Because he's not a descendant. The descendants are an extension of the one who died. Here the Mishnah continues. We had the previous Mishnah began. The Mishnah Mem Chesem and Aleph. Began Mishabotla Sanhedrin Botl Hashir Mi Beis HaMishtois. 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed around the year 70. So 40 years before, in the year 30, the Sanhedrin went into self-imposed exile. They were Botla Sanhedrin. So that's already considered the beginning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So they already started the first aspect of Avelus. Now this Mishnah continues. B'pum Mishalas Pasiones, when Vespasian was the general of the army, and he pulmises a battle, and he waged war against the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So that was a later stage in the Churban Abayit, before, it's leading up to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chachamim made a gzeire, we should observe Avelus Gazer ala Torah's Chassanim. A Chassan used to wear a crown, a fancy crown, so they said from now on it's considered as if the Beis HaMikdash is half destroyed. Out of Avelus for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Chassanim should not wear the crowns. So the Gemara is going to have an Amud Beis, three different opinions. Yeah, on the top of Memtes. Memtes on the base where it says Gemara, about 15 lines from the top, where it says in parentheses Gemara. So the Gemara has three opinions. So the first is Rav and Shmuel and Levi, three different opinions. So the first opinion is Loshan of Eloshan Melech B'Gofris. The only kind about Torah's Chassanim you're not allowed to wear if it looks sparkling. It looks like something gevaldik. Aval Shalhados. But if it's just made from twigs, v'shalvered, roses, and hadasim, little twigs, mutter, that doesn't count. It doesn't look sparkling, doesn't look razzle-dazzle. Shmuel disagrees, he's machmer, apshal hadas v'shalvered, aval shalkanim shalchilas, mutter. If his mom is cheap, then there's no problem. And Levi is the biggest machmer, apshalkanim shalchilas, sasser, and he wrote a set of brises. We're used to the Tosefta that was written by Rabbi Raboshia. There were others who wrote their own set of Toseftas. Chen Tani Levi b'masnite. Levi wrote his own set of brises, his own sort of Toseftas. He put in his Tosefta, commenting on the Mishnah, that when the Tanoi made the Gzeira, b'pul mishalas pesyonis, Chassanim shouldn't wear a crown, as afilo shalkanim el shechelas. Also, even the cheapest kind of a crown doesn't look like anything gebaldic at all. They're not allowed to wear. So that's the first sign of avelus. Then the Mishnah says there were also guys al ha'erus. So the Gemara says, what is an erus? And the Gemara says, some kind of a musical instrument. That you're never allowed to play that music. That's not by a chasana. By a chasana, you are allowed to play music. You're not allowed to play musical instrument, but based on mishtois. In the saloons, in the bars. They shouldn't, out of Churban Beis HaMikdash, they shouldn't play this instrument. So the Gemara has a discussion on Amud Beis. Taka Alu Eris, my Eris, what kind of instrument is it? Amar Blazar, Tavla Dechat Puma. I don't know, some kind of a corresponds to something. Some kind of a musical instrument. So then the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Rav Huna, the one we just had in Amud Aleph, Rav Huna's son, so he himself had a son. So that was an Amud Aleph. He gave the fruit to his child, Abba. So Rabbi Bar Avuna, Ovid Leila Brei, Tanbura. Rashi said he made him a tambourine. Asa Abu Asa came, the grandfather, Rav Huna, and he smashed the child's tambourine. So he said, Vosepis, what happened? Amalei, Mechle, Petavla, Dechat Puma. Even though they never made a gzeira on this, the tambourine is really mutter, but it's so similar to the other one, so people are going to learn from you, they're going to think that they're allowed to do eris. So you shouldn't have your child play with such a tambourine. So what is permissible? So he tells his son, Zil avid le, apuma de chatzva, apuma de kapesha, make a different kind of a thing. So some kind of musical instrument you're not allowed to use, bebeis hamishtois. That's how Rashi says, bebeis hamishtois, you're not allowed to have it. Like before, they said, "Bot lahashir bebeis hamishtoes." So they said, "You're not allowed to play this music out unless mokam mitzvah." So that was.
Isn't this like a
zero? Yeah. Or part of avelos. The Gemara has a concept, adam chashiv shiny, and a lot of places the Gemara has that rabbanim have to be more medactic. Unfortunately, they don't always live up to that because the balabatim are going to be looking up to the rabbis and assuming that they're hot. 10 levels higher than we mechayev to do. They always imagine the rabbanim must be tzaddikim. So if the rabbi does that, I'm not mechayev to do that. I'm a balabos, I can do 10 madregas low. So if the rabbi is just going to follow strictly the din, so the balabatim will think that he's a chassid, I can do 10 madregas lower. So the Gemara says a few times, Adam chashiv shayin. Adam chashiv always has to be machmer because he's going to pull down the level of observance of the oilum. Rashi writes in his commentary on Megillas Rus. It says that Vahira Boris, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara says in Bava Basra that strictly speaking, when there's a famine and there's not enough food to eat, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvah of Yishev Haaretz, but if there's a rov and there's not enough food to eat, you're allowed to leave. But the Gemara, so why was Elimelech punished? Elimelech left with his wife Naomi, with the two children, Machlon and Kilion. Then they married the Shiksas, and then they died. What avera did they do? So the Gemara says, the avera they did was that they left Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, but you're allowed to. It was a rub. So the Gemara says, Adam Chashim Shaini. And the Rama quotes it. They were Anoshim Chashuvim. So Rashi writes in his commentary on Megillas Ruth, it says, there was a man, Elimelech, and his wife was Naaman. He had two sons, Machlon and Kilion. And it says, Ephrasim. What is the word Ephrasim? They came from Ephrat. The Rashi says, no, Ephrasim means Anoshim Chashuvim. Ephrasim means that they were aristocrats. And they left Eretz Yisrael, so it made a Chalisha Sadas by the whole Olam. They should have stuck it out. They should have been Moisa Nefesh, they had money. They should have stayed in Eretz Yisrael. And Anam Chashim has to be Machmer. So the Gemara says that they were punished because they violated Adam Chashim Shaini. They should have been Machmer because the Olam is going to be more Mekel than them. Yeah, we live in a generation, not all the Rabbanim even observe what they're supposed to. Forget about Adam Chashim Shaini. I remember what Dr. Lam once had a Shaila. He said something, writing something in the yeshiva. So he was talking to some of the Rabbanim. So he thought that the yeshiva has to act like, we have to go lefnim mishur hadin. Yeshiva's not allowed to go strictly with the din. If an Adam Choshev Shani, so yeshiva zicha Shani. Yeshiva certainly has to go a little bit lefnim mishur hadin. So the Mishnah has bepumlish of aspersiones. They made one level of gzera. Then later it was bepumlish of titus. Bepumlish of titus, they made more gzeras. How does the Mishnah say? Gozra la toras hakalois. Hakal is not allowed to wear a crown. So today, the Gemara is going to say, a kala is not allowed to wear a crown if it's made from silver. So sometimes the girls wear extremely expensive crowns. So that's mamash, a violation of this din. You're allowed to wear a crown if it's something cheap, if it's not that expensive. But stock is something expensive, tarmanish. The Gemara talks here. The Gemara has on the next line, Amid Beis, on Mem Tes Amid Beis. Gozra la toras hakalas. Maya toras hakalas. What does it correspond to? Amarabba Barbachana. Amarabbi Echanan. Ir shel zahav. A crown that's made from gold and it has like houses. Yerushalayim shel zahav. Like Rabbi Akiva bought his wife in Yerushalayim shel zahav. The crown looked like this. The homes in Yerushalayim, up and down and so on. Like the skylight of Yerushalayim. So that's called an ir shel zahav. Yerushalayim shel zahav. Tanya Rami Hachi. The Brisa says exactly what Rabbi Yechanan said pshat in the Mishnah. Eiz v'atoros hakalos, hir shel zov. But if it's a cheap crown, that's not so expensive, that's okay. Avol osa osa kipa shel melas, melas is silk. So that's permissible. Tono, it says in the Brisa, af al chupas chasanim gozra, they made another gzera, that you're not allowed to use chupas chasan. What do you mean? You use a chupa? No, it doesn't mean what we call a chupa. It means something else. My chupas chasan, what does that term correspond to? So the Gemara says, Zahoris Hamusovas. Some very expensive thing. Rashi says it was dyed purple. Loshin Shal Zahoris means purple. And it has gold all over the place. So the purple is expensive dye and the gold is expensive. So the Chosin shouldn't wear something on his head that's extremely expensive. So that's what in many places in Europe, Rav Soloveitchik said they had a minig. That under the chuppah, the chassan takes off his jewelry, and if he has a very fancy watch, if he has a very expensive cufflinks, if he has cufflinks that cost $10 a garnish, but if he has something very expensive, type in or something, so we don't know what this is supposed to correspond to exactly, this chuppah's chassan. So the meaning was in Europe that under the chuppah, they would take off all the expensive jewelry. And by the kala, we don't allow a very expensive crown. You should make sure that it's not expensive.
If it's so expensive, he maybe shoot himself by Gaiva.
Also a problem. Another problem. But the reason for the din in the Mishnah is because of the churban of the Beis Hamikdash. Avelus. Avelus over the churban of Beis Hamikdash. The kittel is also, yeah. There are different minhagim in Europe, whether they wear a kittel or not. My father told me he came from, they didn't wear a kittel. When my father got married, he said he didn't wear a kittel. So, and you're looking at the Knesset HaGadol, they said that some people had the minhag to wear a kittel. Also, walking around, some had a minhag to walk around seven times, some had a minhag to walk around three times. Because the first Mishnah says in Kiddushin, Oisha Niknas B'Shalosh Drachim. You kind of the wife by walking around three times. That's not what it means, but that was the minhag that they had. And many had a minhag you don't walk around at all. I remember once there was a chassan that they had a dispute. The Kalistad had the minig, they wanted to walk around seven times, and the chassan didn't have the minig at all. So we made up shara three times. Okay. They wanted seven, they wanted zero. So we made up shara three times. Another minig. They have such a minig recorded that you walk three times. Whatever the minhagim are. And remember in my chassana, so my father in law was a chassidish. So he only wanted to observe all of the chassidish minhagim. And our family didn't have these minhagim. So I asked Rav Soloveitchik that usually when the couple gets married and the boy's family has certain minhagim and the girl has different minhagim, so we assume the girl enters into the rishus of the husband and she follows his minhagim. You don't say the husband follows the minhagim of the wife. So I said, under the chuppah also, shouldn't I tell the girl she should follow my minhagim? So he said, Herschel, what does it bother you? Everything is for the sake of batchanas. Let them do whatever they want. What does it bother you? He said, all the minhagim are just for the sake of batchanas. Have a good time. Let them have a good time. People a lot of times make ganzen machloikas about these things. There's nothing to make machloikas about. So this was Sir Avelis of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah continues, Shelo yilamid odem es beno yivonis. What's it does? This has nothing to do with the...
What does that do with
the... Right, this has nothing to do with the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara is going to explain. This is a different story. What do you mean? You're not allowed to talk Yevonis? So the Gemara says, on Amid Beis, Shalaymed is Beno, Yevonis. So it says, Tana Rabbana Kishat Sorah Malch. There was a time in history, towards the end of the Baisheni, I guess, where the Beis, the Chashmonoim, had a machlokes between two brothers, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus. So the Brisa records Hyrcanus was inside Chomus Yerushalayim, and Aristobulus was outside. Oh, if I can't, was Aristobulus? Hyrcanus mi bachutz, Aristobulus mi bachutz. Aristobulus was inside. So, and every day b'chol yom ayom they had money from the Trumas Halishka, from the Machza Shekel. So they would lower money in a bag over the wall, and then they were all religious Jews. They were just killing each other mi barosh. Who should be the melech? But they were all religious. They all wanted to bring karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. So every day they would lower money to the people on the outside, and every day they would lower a sheep for the Tomas Shal Shachar, Tomas Shal Bein Abayim. Chol Yomi HaMishal Shalem Dinarim Bekupo. They left over. They would send money to the outside. And Malam Lahem to meet him every day. To meet him in Musafim. Hayosham Zokenecha Shohei Makeh B'Chachmas Yevanis. So there was one old man inside. So he didn't want to say to the people outside in a language that everyone will understand. They'll kill him inside if they'll hear that he's saying that. So he spoke in some camouflage language, that's Chochmas Yevanis. It doesn't mean speaking Greek. The Gemara says speaking Greek is okay. This is a different kind of a thing, Chochmas Yevanis. It doesn't mean Greek philosophy either. It means it's a different way of speaking. So this fellow knew Chochmas Yevanis, so he told the people outside, Lo aslam Chochmas Yevanis, Amalam calls Manshos, as long as they're going to bring the Karbonis, you guys outside are not going to win the war. In the schus of Akrovus and Kamonis, the guys on the inside will win the war. So they got the hint. So the mocha shil shalahem dinarim. The next day, the people from the inside lowered the money. And the people from the outside, instead of sending up sheep for the tmidim, helalahem chazir, they sent up a chazir. When they were pulling up the chazir, they didn't realize that it's a chazir. You can't be makir of it on the mizbech. Noat Tziparnov, so the Chazir stuck its feet into the wall. Nizdaz Eretz Yisrael, Dalamas Parsi, Adalamas Parsi. And that was a tragedy. So that was the end of the Hakrovas HaKorbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So at that time, Omru, Or Adam Shigadal Chazir, they gave a curse. There was always an Isser that you're not allowed to raise pigs. You're not allowed to raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael. But now they made a curse that whoever violates that Aveira should be cursed. He should drop dead. Hakil Aschachem. Or Adam also occurred, and then there was such a terrible milchama at that time. The two brothers, each one had a whole army, and they were killing each other. So they destroyed many of the crops in the area of Yerushalayim. So normally, when it comes Pesach, Alamat Pesach, you have to bring Mincha Seimer, and when it comes Shavuos, you have to bring the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So the Mishnah says the Menachos is supposed to bring from a farm that's close to Yerushalayim, that you shouldn't have to travel so far. And the grain is going to get dry because the sun is beating down. It's already springtime, summertime. The sun is going to beat down. You should bring it from a location closer to Yerushalayim, and it'll be fresher. V'alos Hashona, and that year Shaninu, we have a record in the Brises. Maisa bo oimam migagas trifim. from a very far out location, far away from Yerushalayim. And the Omer has to be from barley, and the Shtei Lechem has to be from wheat. So the Shtei Lechem they brought from Bika Saint Tzerch, also from a far away place, because they destroyed all the farms near Yerushalayim. So that's the background of this Mishnah, that because there was a fight between the two brothers of the Chashmonaim, Aristobulus and what's his name, and Hyrcanus, and the Shegetz, who gave the message to the people outside, spoke in Chochmas Yevanus. So at that time they prohibited, you're not allowed to talk in that language, Chochmas Yevanus. As Gemara is going to say, Chochmas Yevanus is not the same as Yevanus. Yevanus is one thing. There's nothing wrong with speaking Greek. You can write a Sefer Torah in Greek. You have to Lekim Liefes. It's a beautiful language. But Chochmas Yevanus means a nasty way of speaking. So they made a prohibition that you're not allowed to speak Chochmas Yevanus. Okay. We'll learn that next week. We'll have to finish the parrot.
You learn a foreign language that you don't need. This brings assimilation. The Jewish in Germany translate the Torah in
German.
This brought this assimilation of the reform.
Yeah, we always have to be careful. Rashi on the first pasuk in Vayera has a very famous comment from the Medrash. The pasuk says, Avraham Avinu was sitting l'hu yashay Pesach ha'ol k'chom ha'yom, and the Shechina appears. You know, if someone appears to me, I stand up. Someone older than me, even if he's not the more learned than me, he stand up out of their chesed to say hello. So the Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Avraham Avinu wanted to stand up out of respect for the Shechina, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, shave, you should sit. That's why it says, v'hu yashay b'schas avov. It's like a kriya ksiv. The ksiv is yoshav, and the kriya is yoshev. So which is it? So the Rashi quotes on the Medrash, it was originally a hahu yoshav, he was sitting, and then he wanted to stand up out of respect for the Shechina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, shave, you stay, and you should be a simen lebanecho, a lekim nitzo badas kel. Whenever there's a din Torah, sometimes they have a din Torah, a bunch of fakers. A bunch of kibbutzes, the Dayanim are fakers, and the Validinim are liars, and the Toinim are a bunch of liars. That's what we were talking about tonight when we got lost. I was complaining about a din Torah that I'm part of, which is an absolute shandana harpa. So if you have a real bona fide, honest to goodness din Torah, when you have erlichet Dayanim and erlichet people, and you don't need any Toinim. In Yeshiva, when we used to have din Torah, there was no Toin. The parties explained what happened. And the Rabbanim will figure out what the din is. You don't need a toin to hakat shayni. So when you have an honest to goodness din Torah, so we assume, how can the Dayanim have the ability, how can they be zoiche to figure out what the din is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Elokim Nitzav, Vadaske, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there to give us the Yai Tirishmai to the Chachamim that they should pass him properly. So that's what the Gemara has it did in the first parak in Masechah Shabbos, that the Dayanim have to sit ba'atifo. When you have a din Torah, the Dayanim have to either wear the talus over their heads, if they're wearing a talus, or usually in a din Torah, they're not wearing a talus, so they should wear a hat. Out of respect for the Shechina, you have to have a tifa. What has this got to do with anything? What do you mean? Haktarayin and mitten. Avraham Avinu was 3 days after the bris. The end of Lech Lecha, it says Avraham Avinu was, how old was he? 99 years old. And he does a bris milo. And then a Shechina comes to visit him on the Yom Shlishi Limilo, so and he wanted to stand up out of respect. The Maharsham says, "Be a simon for the bezin." What bezin? Where bezin? Who's talking about a bezin over here? So Rav Soloveitchik explained. The parsha says later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy Sodom v'Amorah, so he sends the malachim to first pass by Avraham Avinu. So the question is, do you have the right to punish Sodom v'Amorah? Sometimes it's like oinus. If you live in a society, the society requires that you have to cheat on income tax. Society requires that you have to cheat in business. Society requires you have to cheat on your wife. The pressure is so great, that's the way everybody lives. You can't exist without doing these averes. So the Rabbanu Shlom can't punish. We're only human beings. So the malachim have to come first to see Avraham Avinu lives right next door. And he's a tzaddik. He doesn't do anything wrong. So the Gemara has a lashon in Yuma. Hillel Mechayev Aniyim. Hillel was so poor, a poor man can tie, I barely make a parnas, I need all the money to give food on the table, how can I afford to go learn Torah? So Hillel, the Gemara says, he made babkis, and he used to take half of the babkis, and he gave it, and they charged money to listen to the shiur and the yeshiva, so he gave half of the money to the Shomer HaPesach, that he should be able to listen to the shiur. And one day he couldn't afford the 2 cents that it cost. So he stood on the roof and he was listening to the shiur, and then it started to snow, and it was under the snow, and it was dark in the base matter, so they realized there's a human figure on top. So the Gemara says Hillel was so poor, and he was moisted nefesh to learn. So Hillel mechayiv anim. From Hillel you see that it's physically possible, if you make up your mind, if you conscientious about it, even an extremely poor person can sit and learn. And then there was a Tanner, Ablozer ben
Charsom,
who was extremely wealthy. So wealthy people have to run to their business and have to take care of this, and have to go to this dinner, the other dinner. They have shibudim. How can they sit and learn? How can they do these things? So he was a multimillionaire, and he was able to learn. So in a certain sense, Ablozer ben Charsom is mechayiv the ashirim. If you have people who live in the same society with the same conditions that other people have, and they're able to do it, so everybody's able to do it. So in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu was the Bezin who was Mechayev. He lived right next door. And he was Bein Adam Lamokam, Bein Adam Chaver, Din Achnos Sorchem, everything the Hepach from Sdom Amor. So in a certain sense, you can apply that Lashon HaGemara, Hillel Mechayev Anim, Avraloz Ben Charsim Mechayev Es Hashirim. So Avraham Avinu was Mechayev Sdom Amor. So in a certain sense, he was like the Bezin. He sort of gave passively, not actively, he sort of gave the psak din that they deserve to be punished. Because if he could live Erlach, they could have lived Erlach also. So that's why the Medrash compares Avraham Avinu, he's like a Bezdin over here. The Malachim come and they see Avraham Avinu has a proper home. So these guys down the block, in Sdom Amor, they deserve a punishment. They could have lived like Avraham Avinu.
I gave you an article just from the Jewish press. I sent you an article.
Yeah, why are you?